Welcome everyone to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers season preview call. I will now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Claire Hutchinson. Please go ahead, Ms. Hutchinson.
Hi everyone, this is Claire Hutchinson from the League Office of the Canadian Football League. Welcome to this installment of our annual season preview calls. On the line today we have the General Manager of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Kyle Walters, Head Coach Mike O'Shea, and Quarterback Matt Nichols. We'll be jumping straight into the Q&A today to talk about the season ahead, so let's kick things off with the first question.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Graham Kelly from Metis Hat News. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Is your team at this point pretty much set personnel-wise and just requires a bit of tinkering? In other words, you've made the playoffs. What do you need now to take it to the next step?
Yeah, this is Kyle Walters. Yeah, the roster, we have our mini-camp starting next week in Winnipeg, so that'll sort out kind of the final pieces of our puzzle. We'll bring, 50 players up here. 30 of those will make it through to training camp. So the roster is pretty much set, just kind of tweaking the last few pieces and get a look at some of these guys that we've been scouting for the last couple of years, get them up to Winnipeg in person, and we'll make our decisions by the end of this week when the roster has to be down to 75.
So you're as good as anybody, and you're right up there with the elite now, aren't you?
Well, everybody's undefeated right now, so everybody's tied heading into the year. So I think everybody at this point of the year feels good about the way they're heading in, and we're no different. We feel confident heading into the season, but as I said, everybody right now feels confident heading into the season.
One other question is, your football team in the most Canadian of cities is basically run by three Canadians. Do you take special pride in that?
You know, we've talked about this over the years, and I don't think it's much of a discussion point anymore. I mean, I'm the general manager, Mike's the head coach, Wade, president, CEO, and yes, we're Canadians and proud to be Canadians, but, you know, we're just running this football team like anybody else, regardless of our nationality. And there's a sense of pride, but we've kind of moved on from the Canadian news story and want to be Grey Cup champions is the next news story.
So you don't really bring a different perspective and understanding than most teams run by Americans.
I would say. Less to do with Canadians, more to do with CFL experience between all three of us have played in the CFL. Wade's up until last year the all-time special teams tackle leader in our league. Mike's a Hall of Famer. So we bring an understanding at all three levels, head coach, general manager, and president, to the Canadian game, more so than our nationality, I would say.
Thank you very much. All the best to you this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Matt, I wanted to ask you, I mean, last year was a terrific year for both you and the football club, but the way it ended, how long has that stayed with you this offseason?
Well, I mean, every time you don't win a championship, it's going to you're going to have things that you obviously felt like you could have done better, and, strong self-critic where, I went back and watched all of our games multiple times and still doing it to make sure that I'm critical of myself and making sure I find all those little things that I could do better. I've implemented more things into my training and, studied other guys around the league even more this year. And it always fits with you because obviously your goal is to win a championship. You know, we haven't done that. So, put in large amount to work this off season to change that and make sure that we end the season the way we want to, and that's bringing the championship to Winnipeg.
And the lower body injury is good?
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate little things like that where, you just can't take the couple weeks off, especially at my position, to really heal up. And, a couple weeks after the season was over, I was, 100% full go, no lingering issues or anything. So it was just unfortunate things like that happened mid-season or late in the season when you can't take the time that you need off. You just got to try and play through it. And, I missed a game and a half, I think, for it. Felt like I still played really well in the playoff game, even with that little bit of an injury. So, I don't think that was any kind of excuse or hindrance for us. And, like I said, it was 100% a couple weeks after the season was over.
And the last thing for me, the stride you made last year, how does that help this year? Or does it? Because, now you've got, you're a team that everybody's going to be looking at. Whereas last year, we weren't sure what we were going to get in terms of from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers last year.
Yeah, I guess everyone else is just maybe catching on a little bit. We know what we had, and I felt like we've been making strides every single day since I got traded to Winnipeg. And, I think as a team we've made strides. Personally, I've made strides, and that just comes with, we've had the same system for 3 years in a row now, going into our third year now. A lot of the same guys around, which is rare in this day and age. And, the more reps you get on the field for a quarterback, you're obviously going to play better and better. And, I felt like that's been the case for me, is being able to, I've been able to learn from mistakes, be coachable, and really do the things that we preach as an offense. And I felt like, I'm feeling more and more comfortable every rep I take. So obviously I felt like going into this season as the most prepared that I've been and the best I've ever felt. So, I'm excited to get going and itching to get on the field with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris Schultz from TSN. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I got one question, but I'm looking for three different answers. You guys are 23-13. I was reading over the last 2 years. You got a profit of over $5 million. And my question is why? I mean, more of an intangible answer than something obvious. And Kyle, if you would answer, like, from your perspective, Mike, from your perspective, and Matt, from your perspective.
I'll start. It's Kyle. I mean, we started this a few years back and took over the organization and hired Mike. And it takes a while to turn, the organization the way we want. It starts with Wade all the way down. And we kind of took the slow and steady approach where, draft, develop our young Canadians, turn over the roster and get leaders in the locker room. And I think from my standpoint, our locker room and our team is modeled in our head coach's mindset, which is tough, hardworking guys. It's a strong locker room. And, it's encouraging when you hear guys talk around our league about what a quality organization we are now. And that's, that's what I'm most proud of from 4 or 5 years ago to now, where I think we're respected league top to bottom, or respected in this league top to bottom with the way we run our business and the way we treat our players. And, we put a product on the field that the fans can be proud of, and we compete in and out and week in and week out. And we've been, we've won our fair share of games over the last couple of years. And organizationally now we need to take it to the next step and, win playoff games and win a Grey Cup. So that's kind of my two cents on I think where we're at organizationally.
Mike?
How you doing, Schulte?
Good.
I guess just to add to that, I'd say that we've got a group of people in the building here that are very much aligned in not only their goals, but in the process to reach those goals. I think our coaching staff takes a lot of ownership and pride over everything they do, and so do the players. Kyle talked about the locker room, and I think that was something that we talked about from day one, that we needed to make sure we had the right attitude in there, and we got a group of players, a very large group of players, that want it done a certain way and believe it should be done a certain way and want to win a certain way. So a lot of credit goes to them, and a lot of credit goes to our coaching staff for allowing the players to take that kind of ownership. I think it's important, and it has paid some dividends. It has taken longer than I would say we, but longer than I thought it would take. Some things go with that is, you know, we've turned over the roster almost entirely, and that's a little disappointing. I mean, I guess there was more work to be done than I thought, and it's taken longer than I thought. But you'd like to have the situation we're in now where I think we can have a little more continuity. I think that would be really welcome, you know, from the first day till now. We've gone through a fair amount of change, so having continuity going forward would be really good. It would be helpful. So, but I think once again, the credit from the coaching staff to the players, they are aligned. They understand what and how we want to do.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everything that they're saying is, you know, would be all parts of my answer. You know, the only thing I would add to it is, for me, you know, being traded here mid-season 2015, we won the Banjo Bowl kind of right when I got here, and I felt like you could kind of see a little shift in the way guys were feeling, the way guys reacted on the field. But even towards the end of that season, you know, we were in a lot of close games that we just kept losing. And, you know, it really felt like when I was on the sidelines, it was kind of like, you know, everyone was looking around, wondering who was going to be the guy to make the play to, you know, to win the game late for us. And, you know, guys were kind of just hoping someone else was going to do it. And now I really feel like it's shifted to where everyone's taking that ownership. And when the game's on the line, you can, you know, look on the sidelines. It's just a different feel where, you know, everyone's thinking, I'm going to be the one to make the play. You know, you're not looking outward. Everyone looks inward and, you know, doesn't want to let the team down and wants to be the guy that makes the big plays. And I think that's why we've come away with, you know, really a lot of close victories the last couple of years where, you know, we need a big play to happen. Guys are out there making them because everyone takes that ownership. Whereas, you know, before I feel like it just felt like people were waiting for someone else to make the play. I think that that's really switched. And I feel like that's been a big difference for us. And that comes with the, you know, the type of people that we have in there now. We have a lot of, you know, veteran guys that, you know, practice what we preach, and, you know, when you go out there and deliver on game day, it's going to trickle down to the younger guys, and I just feel like, you know, overall, just the guys we have in the building, you know, like the other guys are saying, is basically the difference, and I think the mindset has just changed, which in pro football, as you know, is one of the most important things is having that confidence, because, you know, everyone's got the talent, you're at this level for a reason, but to be able to have that team confidence that you can rely on each other, I think has been the biggest change for us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Please go ahead. Mr. Wyman, your line is open.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry, I had it on mute. How are you doing, guys? Mike, I wanted to start with you with the financials coming out today from the Bombers. I know that you'll say that it wasn't a successful season for the Bombers because you didn't win the Grey Cup. You said that last year. But when you see the attendance is up and the team is more profitable because of winning, is that something you take pride in?
Oh, I think it's good for the organization. I think it's obviously good for the CFL. You know, taking pride in that personally, no, I don't put a lot of stock into that personally. I think the way our players play and you know, they don't take this attitude onto the field. Like, they understand it is a entertainment business, you know, driven by our fans. But they don't, you know, they're not thinking of that on the field, but they are certainly aware of it. They're smart people. And they get it in terms of that regard. They go out there and they play hard for each other, and they play hard because they want to win. And I think that shows. And I think our, you know, that's respectful to our fans. And if it turns into a increased, increased crowd, therefore increased revenue. Yeah, there's that's a good thing. You know, on a daily basis, they understand it, but they're not going out there on game day thinking about that.
Thanks, Mike. Next question is for Matt. Matt, I just wanted to know what kind of things you could get out of minicamp coming up.
Well, always, it's always good to get back with guys and talk at football. Obviously, we have a few new guys coming in, and it's nice for me because, you know, the quickest way to get back into it and learn yourself is when you teach the things that you know. Yes, I look forward to that, always sharing my knowledge with the younger guys, especially, you know, a couple new quarterbacks in the quarterback room. So, you know, that's going to be a bit different. So, you know, get to know those guys that you're going to be working with throughout the course of the year. And then, you know, there's no way to really practice throwing full speed routes. I mean, you know, I have guys around that I throw the ball to and I throw to spots, but, you know, you want to go out there and knock the rust off a little bit and be throwing to guys that are, you know, running full speed. You know, you can't really get that anywhere else besides at practice and minicamp's that first taste of it. So I'm looking forward to getting up there, just being back in Winnipeg, throwing the football around a little bit and talking football. So, any chance I get to be out there, you know, that's my happy place. So, you know, looking forward to it.
I have one for Kyle. With the NFL draft next week, Kyle, is this sort of a time where you just have to wait and see what happens there before you finalize your draft board?
Yeah, I guess that is the final piece of the puzzle. But with all the information that you have now, you plan your draft board based on the information you have. But yeah, we'll see on draft day in the NFL and more importantly in the next 48 after that to see who gets priority free agent signings and things like that. And as we know in our league, that will the domino effect will be felt on May the 3rd, depending on how it goes in the NFL.
Thanks. I just have a couple more quick ones for Mike. Mike, what do you feel you need to do to be a better team in 2018?
That's a long answer.
That's okay.
No, I'll try and keep it short. There are a few things that we identified, you know, collectively that, you know, whole groups think that can change. I think we need to be stronger throughout the season, like physically stronger throughout the season. I think, an even greater attention to detail. We spend a lot of time on details, but we can go to another level in that regard. And then, you know, communication, really. I think as a team, as a group, as players on the field, take our communication to the next level so we can, because we're doing a lot of good things. It's just trying to find that minutia that's going to make a difference, you know. And I think the strength, guys, you know, being stronger throughout the whole season, you know, that's not minutia by any means, but some of the detail stuff is just drilling down another layer or layers to in our preparation and in our communication.
Thanks, Mike. And just one more, Kyle. We know from Kyle that the team did have interest in Enoch Nwamba and weren't able to sign him. Does that mean there'll be an open competition for a middle linebacker job with this team, and will it start in minicamp?
Well, you'd like to think open competition across the board, but obviously when you see the depth chart and you can see the guys returning, you can see where certain positions have a little bit more uncertainty compared to the other ones, and our linebacker spot would be one of those. But, you know, between Jovan Santos Knox and Ian Wild, you've got two players who've both played the Mac and the Will linebacker position and both had success, particularly Jovan at the latter half of last year and Ian the prior year, you know, before his hand injury. So, you know, we're feeling pretty confident with the guys we have, but minicamp, where we get to take a look at some of the young guys we signed and see them in person running around and then bringing back a couple guys we had on the practice rosters throughout last year as well. So we're excited to see how these guys look in minicamp and all throughout training camp.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just want to know when the lobbying starts to move this camp to Florida.
Why would we move it to Florida? It's beautiful weather up here.
I know. I just thought maybe you saw the Twitter messages from the other teams and just how nice it looked out there. It seemed like you guys would be a good fit for that weather, too.
I don't know what Twitter is.
Yeah, Jeff, do you think we're really on Twitter?
Well, I don't know. You know, I figured you guys are all over everything. So I don't assume anything. I just suspect.
Well, I'm not on Twitter. I don't think Mike's on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume that Kyle and I are not on Twitter.
No, I think you guys are Twitter junkies, I guess. I don't know anything about you. Just kidding. No. Anyway, moving on to serious stuff. Mike, bigger role on defense. How much has that affected your off season, if at all, and maybe leading up to the regular season?
Oh, I don't think it's affected time spent or anything like that. It's, you know, we're here working. So, you know, I am sitting in that room and we're having, you know, discussions, and it's the same stuff that's gone on for, you know, a number of years. But I don't think it's really changed the amount that coaches work.
But not even amount in the sense of, like, any added focus to the defensive scheme, stuff that you would otherwise maybe in previous years not have done?
Well, I think some of those, you know, maybe the meetings are a little different, you know, in terms of discussing football and the way we discussed it. Now the discussions maybe are a little more detail-oriented, right? I'm asking for the details to be validated. You know, let's check everything we're talking about, from how we name it to how we coach it to whatever. Let's validate everything, you know, to make sure we're drilling down another couple of layers and finding out what we can do better.
One of the biggest differences, I think, hanging into this season is a bit of the turnover on the coaching staff for you, Mike. I was wondering if there was any added emphasis on talking more or what maybe goes into just kind of gelling as a coaching staff leading into whether it be mini camp or training camp, just to make sure everyone's on the same page and up to speed.
Yeah, you know, meeting together is big. Just spending time in the room together as a coaching staff is a big thing. And with two new members on the defensive side, you know, it just takes a little bit of time to warm up and understand how they all communicate together. But it's, you know, these guys are to me, they're seasoned coaches and smart men, and it happens pretty quickly. Something as simple as eating together or hanging out or just talking about life in general, you know, helps to move the process along in terms of getting to know each other and how to communicate with each other.
Right on. Matt, I noticed just through some of the scouting, the signings, recent signings of wide receivers, did they finally get your memo to start at 6'2" and go up?
No, no, we do. We signed some trees, but I think we have a good mixture of guys. I think that we do a good job of bringing talent in and, you know, creating that competition, which, you know, I think that we've shown the last couple of years, you know, what depth can do for your wide receiver. We've had a couple of injuries here and there. We've had those guys be able to step in and make plays for us. So, you know, the more competition we can bring in, the better for our football team. And, you know, it's kind of nice with all the social media and stuff these days. A lot of those receivers have already reached out to me on Instagram and Twitter and stuff. And, you know, you can tell that they're reading through information already, wanting to get, you know, get tons of information from me you know, I think that's exciting that guys are, you know, as soon as they sign, basically, I see that we announce the signing, that guy messages me and is right away asking me tons of questions. So, I think we got hungry football players, and I think it's going to be a very competitive mini camp, and I think that's going to transfer over to training camp when it's, you know, all the veterans show up. And I think that just builds a good football team when you have that kind of competitiveness around it. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we have a good mixture. a lot of things in our offense where, you know, bigger guys are better for certain positions, and, you know, Wes and Dressler guys are better for different things that we do. So, you know, I mean, we have a great mixture of guys coming in, and it's a long list of receivers, so I look forward to seeing what they can do.
Plenty of, obviously, a lot of new faces will be at minicamp, but a lot of new but familiar faces, perhaps, in guys like Nick Dembski, Adarius Bowman. How important is it to get that chemistry going, get that work with them, you know, as early as minicamp and into training camp?
Well, like I said before, you know, it's hard to get that kind of work, you know, for the last 5 months or whatever it's been off. It's hard to get that work unless you're, like, around these guys and with these guys. So, you know, be able to have these few days of kind of crash course and, you know, what we expect from them come training camp, I think is a big jump start for them. And the other good thing is, you know, I played with Adarius, have a great relationship with him. So that part of it's easy. It's just going to kind of get him up to speed to the playbook. Actually, I've thrown to Nick a couple times, you know, working out in Winnipeg last season in the indoor, and so I've gotten to know him a little bit also. So it's nice that I do have some familiarity with these guys. So I think that we're coming in, we're not just starting from scratch.
Right on. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from... The next question is from Justin Dunk from Tree Down Nation. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the time today. I guess to start with Kyle, I'm just wondering how the Alex Ross signing came about, and did Ryan Rigmaiden play a role in that at all?
Yeah, obviously Ryan's familiar with Alex, and when he was released, you know, he was able to give a little bit more in-depth evaluation and his thoughts on what he thought about Alex, and we're, you know, we're able to get a contract signed quickly so we can get him up here to minicamp Monday, and we'll watch him throw for this week.
Were you surprised that the Lions released him and he became available?
No, nothing really surprises you. I mean, particularly when you know, you see a new regime come in and they want to put their stamp on things, and different regimes view things differently, and it's very subjective, the evaluation of players. And I think it's quite common in all sports that things like this happen.
And maybe for both you and Mike, what kind of potential do you see Ross as having? Is he a guy that could grow in your system and down the road develop into a guy that maybe could be franchised one day? Do you see that in him?
Well, you see that it's a very difficult process for the quarterbacks, but I think anybody you sign, you'd like to think can grow and develop. But, hey, you know, as we've learned in our league, where it's a two-week training camp and you spend your time getting your number one and your top couple guys the reps in training camp, there's just not a lot of reps to go around for the rest of the guys. So it's sort of a you know, you evaluate as best you can with the reps that you have. But until these young guys get thrown into the fire and an opportunity to play, it's really difficult to say one way or another. But, you know, obviously the expectations for anybody on your roster, regardless of position, you think they're going to be able to contribute when called upon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Kyle, this offseason, I'm wondering what your priorities were when you were looking at retinkering your roster, and is there a move or two that you really feel very, very good about going into minicamp, going into training camp?
No, I think that the top priority back from December was trying to keep as much continuity and working with our coaching staff to make sure, you know, the guys – in-house that we wanted back were able to get re-signed, and we started in December and tried to keep as much of that offensive line group together. You know, offensively adding Adarius Bowman was a nice piece, and then Nick Dembski and Keenan bring some ratio flexibility and stability, so that was big on that side of the ball. And you know, defensively similar, like trying to keep as much of the core group as we could with the salary cap restraints, I think, was the top priority. This year, obviously, bringing somebody like Chandler Fenner, who you know, plays at a very high level on defense, but also the way he runs around on special teams will be a nice addition to our team as well. So, you know, as I said, I think the key was trying to keep as much of our core group as possible, which is pretty difficult in the days of 1 year contracts and such a, you know, a hard salary cap. But that was our focus.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Graham Kelly from Metis Hat News. Please go ahead.
Coach, I've been covering this game for 50-some years, and I don't think I've ever seen a situation where you had three All-Canadians in the secondary and yet gave up the second most passing yardage in the league. What's the explanation for that?
Well, that's what we're working on. You know, honestly, we have some very talented players back there who are, you know, a ball hawking type of players, and with that sometimes comes a little bit of risk. So, you know, we want to make sure that we still maintain the ability to take the ball away from the opponent, because the ball really is more important in football than necessarily yards, I believe. But we still have to keep that in mind, that we've got to make sure we don't give up the large amount of yards that we did give up, you know, if we have breakdowns in the coverage. So it is a bit of a balancing act, and we're bound and determined to be more balanced in that regard. Still, keep in mind that we do want to take the ball away as much as possible.
So perhaps the change is needed in the front four?
I thought last year we had one of our better years since I've been here in terms of pressure, and I think we were in the top three in pressures and sacks. We were middle of the pack in sacks, but that was, I think, an improvement. In terms of the pressures, the amount of pressure we had on teams. Every team defensively wants to get to the quarterback with four or three, if you could, because that will certainly help your coverage. But, yes, you do got to get there. But it all has to be married together, right? You can't, you know, if you live by pressure, some games you're going to die by it too, right? So you certainly have to make sure that your coverages are married with your pressure packages. You can't sacrifice one for the other, really.
Well, you were a great defensive player, so you should be able to figure this out, right?
Well, at a younger age, I was coached by some great defensive players, and sometimes they figure things out, and sometimes they don't. So, you know, I'd like to think that collectively as a coaching staff and with the players, we're going to get this, we're going to give up less yards and still keep our takeaway margin up there this year.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris Schultz from DSN. Please go ahead.
Question for Mike. Mike, Randy Ambrosi has limited or eliminated padded practice. And I was wondering if that's an adjustment for you on how you teach it. And I hate to be a part of revisionist history, but I remember the days we used to beat the crap out of each other at practice to prepare for a game. Has that been an adjustment in how you teach offensive line, defensive technique, the tackling, the physical side of the game?
Yeah, it's an adjustment. But, Schulte, it's an adjustment for everybody across the league, right? I mean, we brought this in partway through the year. And, you know, we adjusted from the one evening to the next morning. We had made the adjustment. So, you know, you really have to get the message through that you have to practice like professionals, and they do have to take some time on their own to make sure they're getting the individual skill work in some of those areas. It's interesting, you know, you're allowed one padded practice a day in training camp, so you're allowed basically 10 padded practices, I think. Or no, you're allowed more than that. You're allowed a few more than 10. You're only allowed 10 2-days. But so you'll get your work in training camp, and you'll make sure that the guys are proficient. And then, you know, you don't need pads on to work on tackling technique. You don't need pads on necessarily to work on blocking technique. But I'll tell you, come game time, the guys are hungry to make contact.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. There are no questions registered at this time. I will now give the lead back over to Mr. Luca Perez.
All right. Maybe let's just do one more round just to see if anyone else has any final questions, and then we'll wrap up.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The other question is from Darren Bombing from TSN Radio 1290. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Listen, really appreciate you all taking this time today as we're, you know, well past the half-hour mark here. I must have been bumped from the queue. I just had one quick question that hadn't been addressed by anybody yet, and it's to Matt about your quarterback academy happening this weekend. Just curious why you felt it was important to run this camp, or what was the inspiration behind it to work with young players in the province of Manitoba and help make them better football players?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've been wanting to do for a while now. You know, Greg Peach, you know, a lot of people in Winnipeg and Edmonton know, you know, started for 7 years in the CFL, and he kind of started an academy here where, you know, him, myself, JC Sherritt, were, you know, doing a lot of stuff with young quarterbacks in the area, and I wanted to do something in Winnipeg. You know, sometimes it's difficult to get the facility and, you know, liability stuff and all that. And, you know, I kind of just haven't, you know, got to have a conversation with Wade about it and what I kind of wanted to do. And, you know, so we kind of worked out together. And you know, I think that, you know, one of the main things I always do with our camps and anytime I do a quarterback camp is, you know, I think that you can get the fundamental skills and stuff. You can watch YouTube videos these days, and there's thousands of them for kids to go out and do drills, but, you know, I want to do something a little bit different. So, you know, the way I kind of have this structured is it's going to be a little bit of like a day in the life of a Bomber. So, you know, we'll come in, we'll kind of be in our team meeting room just like we do as players. We'll do some things that we do in our team meetings, transition to the field, do on-field work, you know, depending on our numbers, you know, take it to the weight room and do a little bit of, you know, some of the stuff that I do to prepare my body for the season and even during season. Serve lunch in the locker room, like the players get after practice, and then go and watch film and do, you know, how I break down film, how I watch film, things that I do on the field that, you know, they could take, you know, back with them. And then also kind of a leadership talk at the end and what I think leadership is. And you know, talking about adversity and discipline, all kinds of different things where I feel like try and build good people, not just help people, you know, learn how to drop back and throw football. So, now I think that it's a really unique experience where, you know, kids get to come in and be with me for a day and really kind of, you know, sit in Andrew Harris's locker and Darvin Adams' seat in the meeting room. So, yeah, I think it's a really unique thing, and I just want to, you know, be able to, you know, bring some knowledge to these kids that I feel like I wish I would have had when I was their age.
I think that's pretty cool. Kudos to you, Matt. If I could, Mike, Kyle and Matt have addressed minicamp. If I get a quick comment from you, you got a real blend of returning veterans and CFL newcomers for minicamp this week. What do you, as the head coach, want to accomplish in these 3 days?
Give the new guys to the CFL, you know, the simple basic taste of the league in terms of how we run our plays, the speed at which we run them, the size of the field. You know, let them know it's pro football, right? Get to know these guys a little better, and start some evaluations so that we can have a very competitive training camp and put a great team on the field come the regular season. So, you know, for me, there's a lot of things to accomplish, but those are some of the basics.
Really appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you this week. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. There are no questions registered at this time. The meeting goes over back to you, Ms. Hutchinson.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back here in the same place at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, April 26th for the Ottawa Red Black season preview call, where we'll be joined by General Manager Marcel Desjardins, Head Coach Rick Campbell, and Quarterback Trevor Harris. The full schedule of preview calls is available at press.cfl.ca. And the season kicks off on June 14th with Edmonton versus Winnipeg at home for you guys on Investors Group Field. Thanks again, and enjoy your afternoon, guys.